Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So have you noticed that the more people you know, the more people you know what head cheese, trotter, awful, fatback, jowls, hocks, and pork cheeks are? They might even know how to cook some of those things. And they might even know the name of their butcher. And if they're in Brooklyn, that name might be Tom Mylan. He's the poster boy for the sudden rise of the cult of the butcher in New York City. But he's not alone. He's one of many young butchers around the country reviving the lost art. He's getting ready to open the new Williamsburg butcher shop, the Meat Hook. And he joins me now along with Marisa Gugiana, president of Sonoma Direct, a meat company in the San Francisco Bay Area, author of a forthcoming book, tentatively called The Butcher Book. And she's also editor of Meat Paper, a journal of meat culture. Marisa and Tom, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Tom, how do you see your job different from, say, a butcher supplying the meat for a supermarket chain?
Well, I mean, we have a much closer relationship. We've visited all the farms that we get our meat from. We have visited all of our slaughterhouses. We know, you know, we arrange for the shipping of it directly to our butcher shop, and we get it in whole. We only buy whole animals. So we actually can go and choose the animals on the hoof if we'd like to.
Marisa, in other cultures, people eat more of the animal than we do in this country. Is that what people mean by nose-to-tail eating?
Absolutely. That's exactly what they mean. As our food system has gotten more centralized, we have become more accustomed to getting the middle meats, as they're called, the porterhouses and the T-bones and the cuts that are generally more expensive. A lot of the other stuff gets shipped off to other countries, actually.
So, Tom, there was an article in yesterday's Times about the sudden interest, not just in sustainable meat, but in getting to know your local butcher and even learning how to butcher meat yourself. Why did you decide to apprentice as a butcher?
I got drafted.
By whom?
By the restaurant group that I used to work for. We decided that we were going to do a whole animal program at Marlon Sons and the Diner, and they were looking for someone to fill the role of butcher. It got offered to me, and seemed like a good idea at the time.
Is there something, do you think there really is sort of a new butcher as opposed to an old butcher?
I think there's three butchers. There's the old school butcher, which is like exactly what we do, which is the new school butcher. And then you have the sort of like in the middle, like the butcher of, let's say, the last 50 to 70 years.
So what is this old new butcher?
The old new butcher is a butcher that gets whole animals. So they get sides of beef, they buy whole pigs, they buy entire lambs, and they buy them from local farms, which is the way that it always used to work, more or less, the sort of middle, you know, the new old school, old, whatever it is, the middle guy is the butcher who buys box beef from IBP or someplace in the Midwest, and those animals are shipped to these, you know, seven central slaughterhouses that slaughter 96% of our meat, and then those animals are broken down into a bunch of little tiny pieces and cryovac'd and thrown into a bunch of boxes and then shipped back all over the United States.
And Marisa, you're writing a book about butchers, and here in New York City in the 1830s, there were some 300 butchers in 13 public markets, from the stats that I've read, selling meat directly sourced from the region's farms. Mm. And there are far fewer butchers now. Do you see the regional butcher coming back in a big way? Is that what it's about?
It's about sustainability in a lot of ways. If we're going to make the food chain shorter and get closer to the source, then we absolutely have to have butchers that know what to do with these whole animals that they're getting from the farms. And I heard Dario Cecchini, probably the world's most famous butcher, speak on this last Saturday in San Francisco, and he said really eloquently, "I am the piece of the chain that gets the meat from the farm to the table."
Listeners, we just have 5 minutes for this, but do you know your butcher? Do you want to know your butcher? Did your grandma know her butcher? Do you have a question for our meat gurus about what head cheese is or how to salt a ham or something? Give us a call. We just have 5 minutes, but call with your butcher questions and stories. Can being a butcher be hip again? 212-433-WNYC. Or more to the point, can it be relevant to today's food culture? Can it be linked to sustainability when maybe you just wrote off meat as something that was part of the food industrial complex until recently? 212-433-9692, or post a comment online at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But if you want to get in on this, do it right away. 212-433-9692. And Marisa, let me stay with you for a minute, because I wonder if you find that former vegetarians are actually prime targets for sustainable meat butchery, for being customers for that. You know, that whatever moral or environmental objection they had to eating meat is coming into question now by sustainably raised livestock.
Well, in a word, yes. I think bacon is actually usually more the gateway drug than butchery, but I do think that a lot of people who are moral vegetarians are making a switch to eating meat when they know where it comes from, they know the farmer, and a lot of people are even buying whole animals themselves, taking butcher classes like the ones that Tom teaches, and butchering it at home with friends.
Wait, bacon is meat? Oh, my God. All these years, Tom, yesterday at the New Amsterdam Market in Lower Manhattan, you butchered a whole pig with your mentor, Josh Applestone of Fleischer's. The whole pig took about 40 minutes to butcher, according to one of my producers who was there. You raffled off every part of the pig, nose to tail. You were in front of a crowd of about 100 people. How do you feel about butchering as a spectator sport?
Just real quick, I'd like to say that both me and Josh Applestone are former vegetarians. So I have mixed feelings about it as a spectator sport. I think that when you make something into a ridiculous spectacle, I mean, this is coming from the person that participated in it, you're sort of not quite being as reverent of the animal as you maybe could be. If you're making it into a big, goofy competition, which we tried not to make it. But there is some value in showing people, this is how an animal comes apart. These are where the cuts live. Like, this is what a pig looks like before you go into the grocery store and get it off of a little foam tray.
Kathy in Passaic County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. And real quick and right to the point, because our time is so short.
Okay. My 93-year-old great-uncle lived in Florida. He was going for his early bird special filet mignon, and he noticed that the cut that they say is a filet mignon was not the same cut. So he actually got up and went back in the kitchen to show, because he was a butcher by trade from Germany, and he told them that this was not a filet mignon, that whatever they gave him as a filet mignon was not the same that he would have served as a filet mignon.
Okay, Marisa, the 10-second definition of a filet mignon.
I think that's a Tom question.
Tom.
The filet mignon is a section of the tenderloin, which comes off of the sort of rear quarter of beef. And it's very distinctive. You know it when you see it. And when it's not a filet, you can definitely spot it.
Jamie in Cranford, you're on WNYC. Hey, Jamie, right to the point.
I have a story to share. I grew up in Europe. And my grandparents used to raise pigs, and it was a ritual. Four times a year, we'd butcher a pig, clean, cut it all up, use the giblets. That first day, we butchered. And it was just more cultural than need. It's something I cherish forever.
That's a great story. Thank you very much. Eli in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eli. Right to the point.
Yes. There's a on the kosher market, there was an onslaught from their investigation with the videos and all sorts of things that have been very troublesome to the kosher meat production market. My question is, have you seen a lot of this occurring in the non-kosher meat market or other religious production of meat and meat products?
Do you get the question, Tom?
Yeah, there definitely has been a lot of meat scandals in the, you know, non-kosher markets. I've not heard of many things having to do with halal, except for animals escaping every once in a while and running about the city as they do. But yeah, anytime that you're, you know, killing an animal and you're trying to speed it up, make it cheaper, there are going to be serious errors and wrongdoing done. And it just, meat shouldn't be that cheap and it shouldn't be that fast.
Davis in Westfield is a chef and says it's crucial to know your butcher. Why, Davis?
Oh, because just knowing your butcher and getting great advice. And I remember growing up in Jersey City and going to visit my butcher, and he'd pull out a cut of meat, and as he was trimming it up for me for the particular cut I ordered, he'd say to me, okay, keep this for breakfast or keep this for doing this. And, you know, these little odds and ends that I'd wind up with all these little packages that we'd be using every single piece. And he'd be giving me ideas as I went along before I was a chef. This will make a nice little stew for you and your wife. So I think it's just really important to have a good butcher. Know that you're getting meat from quality sources. Very important.
Thank you very much. Tom Island, what's the most important question for a customer to ask his or her butcher?
Where does this come from? I mean, the most basic thing about, like, going to a butcher shop and having a relationship with a butcher is accountability, and knowing that if you get a piece of meat that you're not happy with, or that you can come back and return and say this wasn't good, and alternately you can go in there with a sort of vague idea of what you want to cook for dinner, and they can sell you something new and interesting that you've never done before, and then tell you how to make
10
it.
10 seconds. What's the right answer to where does this come from? What's the acceptable
answer? There is no right answer, but there should be an answer. If you go to the supermarket, there's no one to ask.
Right. Tom Milan, he is opening a Williamsburg butcher shop, The Meat Hook. Marissa Gugiana from Sonoma Direct in California, thank you both so much.